Well, good morning. Let me make a couple of announcements also to follow up. It was the first Sunday of October in the year 2000 when Jeff Abels became pastor here. And so this would be his 22nd anniversary as our pastor. And so we definitely want to mention that because that's an amazing blessing. He is a blessing. And so if you get a chance to tell him how much you appreciate that, I'd encourage you to do that. Second thing is if you were wanting to hear any of the ABC's lessons again, or you missed one, or you want to share one, they're all on the Sermon Audio app. And they're all together. If you go to series, you can check them out. There's ones that Preacher taught, there's ones that Ben taught, there's ones that I taught. But we have compiled the entire alphabet there, and I'll encourage everyone, if you missed one or want to share one, that'd be a good resource right there that you could use. So with that being said, let's just go ahead and get started with today's lesson. We're in the fourth lesson on creation here in Sunday school. And, you know, I was thinking about it's amazing to think about things like I've said this before, but there's like 3,200 names in the Bible, 3,200 names mentioned in the Bible. But there's only one name that you mention that gets a reaction out of people. You mentioned Jesus Christ. And, I mean, some people just get triggered. You know, and I mean, we have hillbilly mentality here. We're not smart. But don't you see something with that? Like, doesn't that illuminate something in your mind that you could say Adonijah, and they think you're talking about your Amish neighbor, but you're really talking about the fourth son of David. But you say Adonijah, nobody says anything. You say Jesus Christ. And people just like, well, no, wait a minute. You know, you get a reaction. You get a response with the name Jesus Christ. And beyond names, there are certain words and terms and ideas that also trigger responses to people. It's really weird. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the word day. The word day, D-A-Y, day. In your Bibles in Genesis, let's just read chapter 1. Let's read a couple of verses. And I want to get everyone to understand when the Bible says day, now get this, it's not, people get triggered by this word day, but it's not people who are the scientists and the evolutionists, it's not them. You know why? Because they've already dismissed the Bible. They don't believe in the biblical account. They're not the ones who are bothered by the terminology in the Bible. It's these other Christians who are creeping in with this error. And so we got to watch out for that. And we'll talk a lot about that. But let's look at verse number 3. In fact, my Bible in blue right above verse number 3 says, the first day. Verse number 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I want you to understand, again, there's this idea that I believe Ben talked about last week or mentioned it in passing about the old earth idea. And the old earth idea is actually relatively new. You know, like when we were talking about baptism, I said for over 1,000 years, even when babies were baptized, they were submersed. Like sprinkling was new. Okay, in that same light, this idea that a day is not 24 hours is relatively new. For the first 1700 to 1800 years of human history, people believed the biblical account that when they said day, it was a literal day. But what happens in the 1700s and the 1800s is the Age of Enlightenment. The age of reason, where men come together and they look at the world and they think that they know more than the infallible word of God. Now, the age of reason might have died out in the history books, but we're back into another age of reason now that we need to be careful about, that we'll talk about. But prior to the 1700s, there's almost no account. There's certainly no account that I could find, but I'm not a scholar. There's very few accounts that scholars can find where someone believed in this old earth theory. Most people accepted that the earth was 6,000 years old, approximately. They believed the account in Genesis. And again, it was the age of reason, the age of enlightenment, when man started tinkering with this creation theory. And they started adding time to what a day is to make it account for what they believed was going on with what they were seeing. And the subjective concepts of old age, that's one of them. Another thing that happened in the late 1800s was there's this change in archaeology. And the word is uniformitarian geology. And uniformitarian geology is where they look at a geologic, like you're driving to Branson, and you see on the side of the road, you see all those cuts in the road. And in a lot of places, you could go out west around the Grand Canyon, you see layers. And so they would say, well, each one of those layers is 100 years or so many years. And so they changed the way they dated archaeology during this time to come up with the fact, well, a day must be more than 24 hours. That's where this came from. That it has to be that. You know, but of course we understand it's a worldwide flood. And if you understand how flood waters come in and how waters churn, and how flood waters recede, then you can understand layers in sedimentary rock. And it's just the way it is. We have a reason. The Bible gives us a reason. But again, when those two things happen, when you have this old age idea and this change in archaeology, people come up with the idea that a day, it has to be millions of years in between the day. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you the reason why it's not. And it's a very, very clear, simple reason. I want you to just stay tuned because I want to lay this argument out. But by no means do we ever need to be combative. But pray for me because it makes complete sense in here, and I just want it to make complete sense when it comes out of my mouth on why a day is 24 hours in the timeline of creation. In any language, though, you get words with multiple meanings. Last night we were at dinner, and Stephanie said the word saw. And the way she said the word saw, I thought she was talking about cutting something, but she was talking about seeing something that she saw. You know, and it was like, whoa, that word has multiple meanings. Just like if a woman said, I got to run in my stockings. If you don't know what stockings are, we're a different age. I got to run in my stockings while I was running to the store where I had to run my eyes across the shelves to find my brand of stockings. Now, we could use run three different times in that sentence, and they all three mean something different. So you ask yourself, because again, we're just hillbillies, you ask yourself, how do you know which run they're talking about? Context. You don't need a degree to figure out context. You need to listen and pay attention, and you could absorb the context. Now, just like I could tell you which run we're talking about, when the Bible talks about day, what we need is context. The word day is used. Absolutely. No one is denying that the word day is used several ways, just like the word run was in that example. I want you to turn to a couple places, and I want you, as I read these, I want you to figure out in your mind silently what the context is. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35 for the first one. Genesis chapter 35. This is Sunday school, so we're going to do a little assignment here. Genesis chapter 35. Look at verse 28. Now, here's the deal. You know, everyone's like, well, you took that phrase, you took that verse out of context. Okay, I might take it out of the entire passage of context, but the verse itself is going to have enough context for you to understand. Genesis 35, look at verse 28. And the days of Isaac were 104. Now, in that sentence, the context tells us that the word day means length of life. That's what it means. Hillbilly mentality. Didn't need to look it up. I just read it and I understood it. That meant length of life. Okay, let's keep doing this exercise. Let's go to Leviticus chapter number 9. Go to Leviticus chapter number 9. In Leviticus chapter 9, and I'm trying to keep examples. Of course, the word day is throughout all the Bible. I'm trying to keep examples close together. In Leviticus chapter 9, look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Okay, so that tells me, because of the context, that wasn't after 8,000 years Moses did something. That's not what that means. It means on the eighth day of a uniform period of time, something happened. I didn't have to look anything up in a concordance. I didn't have to reread anything or find out what the original text said. I just could read the sentence and say that right here in this context, it's a time frame repeated eight times on the eighth day. I think, are we all with me? Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Well, now we're going to get wild. I hope this class is ready to get wild. Numbers chapter 11. Look at verse number 32. Now, I want you to understand, the King James Bible is on a sixth grade reading level. It's been tested. It's been proven. It's on a sixth grade reading level. Verse number 32. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day. They didn't stand for 1,000 years. They stood up all that day and then all that night and then all the next day. And they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them abroad. But I want you to understand, day. What does day mean there? Well, day means a period of day, the daylight portion of the day. That's what it's talking about there. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture outside of Genesis where people argue about what a day is. There's nowhere in Scripture. The Bible says Jonah was in the whale for 3 days. No one is screaming that he was in the belly of a fish for 1,000 years. No, and if you did, people would say, that's absurd. So just like when you say the name Jesus and people freak out, when you talk about a literal day during creation and people go, well, shouldn't that tell your hillbilly mind something? Let's look at one more. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 5. Now, you just read this in your Bible about 3 weeks ago, if you're doing your Bible reading. 2 weeks ago, we're almost done with Jeremiah in our Bible reading. Almost. Jeremiah chapter 5. I mean, here's another one. Jeremiah chapter 5. In Jeremiah chapter 5, look at verse number 18. It says, nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Now that word day means an era or an elongated time frame. So the word day can mean the daylight portion of a 24-hour span. It could mean a life. It could mean an era. But just as well as it can mean those things, it can mean a 24-hour literal day. I mean, let's think about our Lord. In the first week of creation that we've looked at, He is forming how the world is going to operate. So, of course, when the Bible says that it was a day, it's a 24-hour time period. In Genesis, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, because I want you to be able to look at these verses yourself while I'm talking. But in Genesis chapter 1, again, and the reason we know those things is the context, the clues that's going on, the other words. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God had divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day. Now, and that did you notice that's capitalized? Because day is the portion of the day where there's light. He called it day. You know, if someone says, I'm working the day shift, you're working for 1,000 years? No. I'm working when the sun's up. I'm working the night shift. No one has a problem with that. No one. There's the day shift. There's the night shift. God called it day. God called it night. And then he says, and God called the light day, called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And he goes on through here, verse number 8. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And he goes on and he says, the evening and the morning, verse 13, was the third day. God sets the parameters. He puts the guardrails on it. He knows where you're operating. He wants you to understand that this is a time frame of 24 hours because that's how the world is going to operate now. Of course, there's that guy, well, it's actually 24.7. Cool. But the context says it's a literal day. It's a literal day. You can go to Genesis chapter 1. You can go to Genesis chapter 2. There is no indication whatsoever with the context, however you want to read it, that it's referring to anything other than a 24-hour day. Evening and morning. Those are specific time frames in a day that we even use today. Again, Jonah, no one argues that he was in the whale or a fish for longer than... Okay, oh, the Israelites... Are walking around the wall of Jericho. They do this for how many days? 7,000 years? Are you kidding? No. 7 days. Yeah, but a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. That's what it's... The context is they did it every day of the week.
That's right.
They didn't walk around for 7 million years, 7,000 years. They walked around for 7 days. And no one argues that. Are we on to something when we say it's 24-hour literal days? No one argues that. You know, and why? And again, and maybe you haven't run across this, but people try to, here's what happens. What am I arguing against? People try to fit millions or hundreds of thousands or sometimes even billions of years into the history of the universe, and they say that between... Now get this. It's not the scientists who disregard the Bible that say this. They've already disregarded the Bible. It's intelligent Christians that are trying to say, well, it's compromisers. It's people that are trying to fit the Word of God into a worldview. It's not the people who have already dismissed the Bible. They have no desire or attempt to try to make the Bible fit into the science that they are claiming, okay? So know who the enemy is right here. The enemy being the one who's causing you to err, if you believe this. It's people who accept the creation story, but you all have it wrong. Because in between day one and day three was a million years. And in between day four and day five was another, because the archaeological, the fossil record tells you that. You know, I saw the other day that the United Nations, pretty powerful, they are working with Google to suppress all data that isn't data dealing with climate change that they produce. Do you understand the people that hold the data hold the story? I'm in a world where we collect data. We collect data of chemical results of the sediment that we're sampling. And until we release it, we can tell whatever story we want because we hold the data. The people that hold the data, if you control the data, you can... But this is data. This data came out way before that. And it's a 24-hour day. Now go to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 4. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. It says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Uh-oh, we're going to have to use our context clues. Is that talking about 24 hours? No, it's not. Because it says in the day that God created. This is a summary of the creation week. Using the word day in this sense is a past period of time, talking about when God did it. You do that all the time. Well, back in the day, we used to have the choir sit up there the whole time. What? Okay, well, back in the day? I mean, we say that kind of stuff all the time. And how does everyone know what you're talking about? Context. All it is context. It is the same word, but the context describes a different meaning. Let me show you Exodus chapter 20. Let me show you exactly. You know, there's places in the Bible. There's places in the Bible, and we know this, that God inspired men, and men would record the words of God, the very words God inspired men to write these words down. You know, Exodus chapter 20, you know what's special about these? God himself etched these words in Exodus chapter 20. Okay? Moses just copied what God wrote in Exodus chapter 20. It says, and God spake all these words, saying, and he talks about all this stuff. But look at verse number 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day, Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember, this is the Lord speaking. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. Look at verse number 11. This is the Lord giving us the answer. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is there is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I want you to understand, he refers to a week as 7 days, and we've adopted that in our culture today. And no one's like, well, I'm one of them 5-day believers. What? You never get paid then, because, you know, we're a 7-day believer. You know, no one says that. We have 7 days, 6 days for work, 1 day for rest. He's being literal, and Moses understood him as being literal. Moses had no problem saying, well, now, Lord, the fossil record shows. No, he knew. He knew that God was being literal when he said this. The illustration is literally creation. That's what he's talking about. If God created the earth in 6 long periods, then the Sabbath would be a long period of time. But the Sabbath is a day, a 24-hour day. Do you think out of all the people and all the cultures in the history of the world, the Jews wouldn't do exactly what the Lord said when it comes to a ceremony? If they really believed that the Sabbath was 11 million years for every single day, if they really believed that, they'd be like, we're still in the Sabbath. I've been in the Sabbath since I was born. And I'll probably die in the Sabbath because the Sabbath is 1 million years long. That's not what they do. They say the Sabbath is a 24-hour day. The Jewish culture has no problem understanding that. They have no problem. The passage only makes sense if the days are 24 hours. We can look to our Jewish brothers and see exactly how they handle this. You know what? Let's do that. Let's look to our Jewish brothers. If you take out your phone, you can take out your phone. You don't get in trouble. Take out your phone. Go to calendar. You can do this. It's all right. No one's going to yell at you. Go to Wednesday. Now, if you have an iPhone and you have holidays turned on, what do you see? And you can't turn it off for some reason. You know what Wednesday is? Yom Kippur. That's what it says. It says Yom. You know what that means? Does anyone? We don't celebrate Yom Kippur, but you know what Yom Kippur means? Well, Kippur means cleansing or atonement. Yom means day. Wednesday is the Day of Atonement. It's Yom Kippur. Now, that word, Yom, Y-O-M, is the exact word that you see in Genesis chapter 1. For day. It means day. It's not a 1,000-year ceremony. It's a 24-hour period of time that they celebrate Yom Kippur. And as Christians, we must stand on this 24-hour day meaning. And again, Hebrew for day, yom, Y-O-M. You could say it rhymes with home if you want. This is yom is really how it's supposed to say if you want to get really technical. But listen to this. Listen to this. Day has many meanings. We understand that. We've looked at many meanings. It can mean, the word Y-O-M can mean 24 hours. Just like our English words for day that we read in the King James, if you were looking in the Hebrew, Y-O-M can mean 24 hours. Y-O-M could also mean a distinction between light and dark. It can mean that. It could also mean an indefinite period of time, like an era. So Y-O-M, the Hebrew word for day, is just like the translated English word for day. And how do the Jews, and you can ask, Rabbi, how do you know which one it is? And you know what you'd say? You'd say, well, son, context. In fact, the most trusted Hebrew lexicon or dictionary that all the big-time rabbis use is called the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon. I mean, it is the source if you want to know Hebrew. When you look up Yom in there, and it gives you, it could mean an era, it could mean the daylight, it could mean a 24-hour day. It gives you an example of when it's a 24-hour day. And you know what it says? Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3 is when it's a 24-hour literal day. It cites Genesis 1 as a 24-hour day. Now, that's pretty amazing. So we don't have any problem understanding the Hebrew here that it means day. Now, any study of Genesis, and we're going to get into this and its accuracy, the accuracy of what we're reading regarding the age of the earth. I mean, we're never far away from talking about fossils, right? I mean, someone's always going to be talking about fossils. So let's talk about fossils. And we're going to talk more about fossils. Some people like fossils. I never was really into space or fossils. I never really got into that as a kid. But we'll talk about fossils. If you don't know what a fossil is, just for the record, fossils are remnants or traces or imprints of dead plants and animals that have been preserved on the earth's surface or near surface, if you want to say it that way, with rock layers. They're dead plants and dead animals. Now, secular scientists, they view fossils as evidence of a long prehistory for the earth and life on it, spanning millions of years. The fossil record. This dinosaur bone is millions of years. It's wonderfully preserved. The sedimentary layers on top of it have formed over millions and millions of years. We call this period of time the blah, blah, blah period. And there were no humans on it. And it was just this. And they go on and on about it. And they have all these stories that are not backed up by anything. They're not backed up by anything. Now, creationists view the same fossil deposits of the world with the understanding of Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11. There was a catastrophic worldwide flood that every culture talks about, by the way. But they have their timing off. It happened one time, and it was a worldwide flood. And it was this rapid burial. Now, the Bible makes it clear, and I want you to get this. If you're in Genesis, go back to Genesis. This is the whole reason. I mean, all those are good evidence that a day is 24 hours. And this is, we're almost done with this lesson, then we can just fellowship. But I want you to see 31, verse 31. So at the end of the week, the Bible says that God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay. What are fossils? They're dead plants and dead animals. I want you to understand something. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. You can mark it, go to it and read it. There was no death during the creation week. None of the fossils that you see happened during the creation week because sin hadn't happened. See, the argument here is if you can undermine the first 11 11 chapters of Genesis, if you can cast doubt on the historical, literal context of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, then you throw off the gospel. You throw off the atonement and the work of Jesus Christ. You cast doubt on those things. Listen, in the fossil record, I'll talk fossil record. In the fossil record, you know what there's fossils of? Thorns. There's fossil record. You know what else is in the fossil record? Did you know they found a dinosaur skull that had evidence of a brain tumor? There's cancer and cells, cancerous cells that have been preserved in the fossil record. None of those things happened before sin happened. You know why you and I should believe in a literal 24-hour day? because God said it was very good. And there was no sin during that time. Sin came when, or death came when Adam sinned. So it's very easy. It's very easy for me to accept the 24 hour. Very easy. Because I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And I know that His work was sufficient. And I know that He died for all the sins of mankind. And I know that God said creation was very good, so there couldn't have been sin. Which if there couldn't have been sin, there couldn't have been a long period of time in between these things. Absolutely not. There couldn't have been. You know, that's why this is week 4 and we're just talking about the word day. And in week 1 and week 2, we talked about how we need to believe the Bible. That's why we talked about that, because the Word of God tells us everything we need to know. That's why. That's why. If you want to know why. Why do Christians believe in this literal 24 hour? Because sin wasn't there. So your fossil record is everything that happened after sin. Now, I don't know. I thought this was interesting. Maybe you pay attention to world things or not. There was a woman that got elected as Prime Minister of Italy this week. I don't know if you heard her speech. I don't know why I did, but I'm a nerd. I listened to her speech. She ended her speech saying this. She says, "Fires will be kindled to testify that 2 and 2 make 4. And swords will be drawn to prove that leaves are green in the summer." Now, I was like, well, that's pretty clever. I bet she didn't say that. No, she didn't. There was a guy by the name of G.K. Chesterton. He was lived from 1874. I had a lot of work this week. She lived from 1874 to 1936. He said that back in the 30s, that people are going to argue and want death over 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that leaves are green. We live in a crazy world. Up is down, down is up. Chaos is everywhere. A day in Genesis is 1,000,000,000 years. But Jonah was, it's chaos. And if you feel like it's chaos, then the answer is go back to the Word of God. Read it. Apply the context. And believe it with all your heart. I hope I've done a sufficient job to show you that this is not chaos. The world is chaos. Their theories are chaos. And I also want to know, I also want to point this out, because I think this is very important. And then we'll be done. I think that we should turn every creation lesson into something about Jesus Christ. I really do. And here's why. Because when you go to work and you're sitting at the lunchroom table, your coworkers are going to be, you know the fossil record and you give me all these dates and time. That doesn't help them one bit. But if you can talk about creation in Jesus Christ, that helps them. And I want to do the PowerPoint and show you, well, this proves this and this proves that. And I want to give you all kinds of dates and numbers and times and wow you with science. But science never saved anybody. You need to be able to talk about Jesus Christ from Genesis 1 through the whole Bible. And that's why, again, I'm going to say it again, that's why we believe in the 24-hour day. And it all has to do with sin, and it all has to do with the work of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? All right, let's get ready for Big People Church.